Welcome to Torah Nimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sipporah Weinberg, and today we'll be studying the Navi Yeshayahu, Perek 65. Our last Perek presented the questions and concerns of Klal Yisrael, addressed toward Hashem as voiced by the Navi. Now, in the penultimate Perek, Perek 65 of Sefer Yeshayahu, we have Hashem's response to these questions, wherein Hashem presents an alternate, if almost opposite, perspective. Nidrashti lelo sha'alu nimtsesi lelo vikshuni. Amarti, hineni, hineni, algai lo kora bishmi. I made myself available and responded to those who didn't even ask. I was there for those who didn't seek me. As we learned previously, the Navi requested, Dirshu es Hashem behimatzo, go seek out Hashem when he is found. And here the Navi attests in the name of Hashem that that didn't happen. But even without the request of Hashem, Hashem was there for us nonetheless. Hashem said, Hineni, Hineni, I'm here for you. You who didn't even invoke my name. Peirasti yadai kol hayom el am sorer, haholchim haderech lo tov, achar machshevoseihem. I spread my hands out to you in constancy, to a nation who is disloyal, who walked an unjust path and followed their own willful ways. The metaphor calls to mind a father stretching his hands out to his son and calling to him, come, come, but the son continues on his way. Yalkut Shimoni brings an additional metaphor. Mashal lemaha davar dome letayar shahayam halech baderech v'chashchalo balo etzel haburgan. Amar lo haburgani, hikanes lecha laburgan mipnei chaya ra'a mipnei alistim. Amar lo ein darko shel tayar likanes laburgan. It's comparable to a person who is traveling and he passed up the little watchman who watched the vineyards in the night. And the watchman said, come into my little place, you know, stay here for the night because it's dangerous. There are wild animals, there are robbers. And the tourist said, no, it doesn't make sense for me. He was looking for a hotel. I'm not going to stay by you, the watchman. So, but kevan shahalach ba'la vishon layla va'afela v'chazar bo etzel haburgani v'hayatza oik u'mevakesh she'yiftach lo. He went back, he changed his mind because all of a sudden night fell and it was scary and dangerous. But then the watchman said, nope, but now it's too late. I don't take people in the middle of the night like that. That's the same way that Hashem turned to Bnei Yisrael and said, come back, my mischievous children. Look and seek out for me and find me when I am to be found. But however, none of them actually asked to come back when they could. Only later, when they were thrown into the cruel and vicious Malchios, the other nations, the other kingdoms, then those who are comparable to wild animals, then and only then did they start to scream out to Hashem and say, Hashem, why are you distant from me? Bnei Yisrael said to Hashem, we called out to you and you didn't answer. Hashem says the opposite is true. I told you to come back to me and to speak with me. I begged you to reach out to me, but you didn't use the opportunity. You ignored my presence and my availability to you. Now that you caused the distance between us, you walked away. Now you want to return and you wonder why I don't answer you. You yourself created the situation. You effectively forged this distance. Psukim 3 through 8 are very difficult psukim in which Hashem recounts the sins that Bnei Yisrael did and the ritualistic ceremonies surrounding Avodah Zarah. Ha'am ha'machisim osi al panai tamid, zovchim baganos u'mikatrim al halavenim. The people who constantly provoke my anger, continually sacrifice to strange Avodah Zarah in gardens and burn incense. Hayoshvim bakvarim uvansurim yalinu. Ha'ochlim b'sar ha'chazir u'mirak pigulim kelehem. Who they sit inside tombs, they pass the night in secret places, they eat the flesh of pigs, and they have the broth of unclean items in their bowls. Ha'omrim krave lecha al tigash bi ki kedashticha, elo ashan ba'api eish yokedes kol hayom. They say to me, keep your distance, don't come any closer, because I am holier than thou. These are the things that make my anger rage like a blazing fire the whole day. All of this is recorded before me. I'm not going to stand idly by. I'm going to repay this. I'm going to deliver their sins into their laps. avonosechem va'avonos avosechem yachdav, amar Hashem, asher kitru al harim va'al hagvahos charfuni, umadosai fe'ulosam mishona el chikam. The sins of their fathers as well, said Hashem, because they gave sacrifices upon the mountains and upon the hills, they affronted me, and so I'm going to give them their complete recompense for their sins. Now, in general, we have a principle of lo yumsu banim alavos. Children don't get punished for their parents' sins. But that's only if the children don't continue the sinful ways of their parents. If they do continue, then Klal Yisrael has the responsibility, the interconnectedness, that they are responsible for one another as one nation, and each generation connects to the next in a chain of transmission. Thus, if children follow their parents' sin, they would and do pay the price for their parents' misdeeds. From Pasuk 8 and on, Hashem returns to the promise of redemption. Ko amar Hashem ka'asher yimatze hatirosh ba'eshkol va'amar al tishchisehu ki vrachabo kein a'asel leman avadai levilti hashchis hakol. So says Hashem, when a person finds a cluster of sour grapes in a vineyard, and a person says to another one, don't destroy the whole vine for the sake of one cluster, there's still good in the vine in spite of those spoiled grapes. The entire vine is not represented by that one cluster. Kein a'aseh l'man avadai. That's the same thing that I'm going to do for my servants. I'm not going to ruin everything for the sake of my loyal ones. Votzesi miyakov zera umihuda yoresh harai v'yershuha b'chirai v'avadai yishkenu shama. I will in fact bring forth the seed, the progeny of Yaakov, and from Yehuda I will take heirs to inherit my mountains. The chosen ones will live in that place. My servants will dwell there. This means that Hashem will never destroy the entire nation. There were punishments, there were difficult times, but Hashem has always extracted a percentage of Bnei Yisrael from Yaakov, from Yehuda, who will remain, and they will be those who will merit to inhabit the holiest of places, that is their legacy. We witness some of this as we recognize that the greatest percentage of Eastern European Jews were lost to us, and suddenly from that small vestige of people, centers of Jewish life, sprung up in abundance that we had never seen before. So while the Geula, of course, has not yet arrived, we do see sparks of it within the possibility of Hashem sending blessings for those that remain. V'haya ha-sharon l'nevetzon ve'emek achar l'revetz bakar la'ami asher derashuni. Still in all, there will always be those who seek me out, and the land of Eretz Yisrael will once again be a place that flows milk and honey, lacking nothing. Sharon will become a pasture once again for flocks, and the valley of Achor will be a place for cattle to lie, all for those people of mine, my nation, who seek me. So this is a continuation of Hashem's response, which began with Hashem replying that I called for you, and you were the ones who ran away. But now in the second part, you who said that I don't answer you, don't think for a second that there is one cry, one prayer, and even one single tear that I missed. When the redemption finally comes, you will then see how those prayers will answered. La'ami asher dirashuni. This is the same concept of tefillah la'ani kiya atof. There exists the phenomenon of a prayer of a poor person, impoverished, destitute, who is so far gone that he indeed faints when he prays it out because he feels and sees no answer to his request. And it's true, we don't always immediately see a response to the prayers that we pray, and we can only sometimes see the supplicant stricken and fallen. And then we learn that Mashiach himself is described as an ani v'rochev al chamor, a poor person who rides on a donkey. He is an ani, a poor person, because he's comprised of all those poor, unrequited tfilos. He is the embodiment of each ostensibly unanswered prayer. It is those prayers that essentialize Mashiach. They are Mashiach. They drive him forward, impelling his arrival. Va'atem, ozvi Hashem, hashecheichem es har kodshi, ha'orchim legad shulchan v'hamimalim lamni mimsach. And for those who indeed did leave the way of Hashem, they will get what they deserve in divine retribution. For you who forsake Hashem and ignore the holy mountain, the Har HaKodesh in Yerushalayim, and you go to Avodah Zarah, those of you who think there are other sources for your good luck, you set a table for God, which is a foreign power that rules over fortune. You fill a bowl of wine for another heathen deity that supposedly rules destiny. Today as well, we can understand identify with this idea that people place their trust in other sources of fortune and destiny, and they deny that it all comes from the Har Hashem, that it all emanates from Har HaKodesh, from Hashem himself. People who believe otherwise, in fact, reject that divine protection, and it eludes them. Rambam explains that so many times Hashem reaches out to a person in his life in order to get him to return, but then a person might correlate these happenings to fortune. So in fact, what he's doing is deflecting that influence and denying himself that measure of Hashem's close access and scrutiny. This is a call to Bnei Israel to do the opposite. Don't ascribe what happens in your life to fortune. It all comes from Har HaKodesh. Umanisi eschem lacherev v'chulchem latevach tichrou yan karasi v'lo anisem dibarti v'lo shema'atem v'ata'asu hara be'enai uva'asher lo chafatzti b'chartem. And so you're going to be destined for the sword. You'll kneel to the slaughter, because when I called you, you didn't answer, and when I spoke, you wouldn't listen. Psukim 13 and 14 discuss what wonders await those who serve Hashem and the misfortune that befall those who do not. Lachen ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine avadai yochelu, va'atem tiravu, hine avadai yishtu, va'atem titzma'u, hine avadai yismachu, va'atem tevoshu. Hine avadai yaronu mitov lev, va'atem titzaku mikeev lev, umishever ruach tiyalelu. So is going to happen, says Hashem. My servants, those who serve me, will eat, and you will hunger. Those who serve me will drink, and you will thirst. Those who serve me will be happy, and you will be ashamed. My servants will shout out in gladness, but you're going to cry out in anguish and howl in heartbreak. Radak frames these psukim allegorically, telling us that they refer to the world to come, Olam Haba, the merit that a person will receive in the future. The tzaddikim will sit and enjoy Ziv Hashchina, the beauty of the divine presence, because they will reap all the benefits of their service in this world by being able to appreciate the glory of Hashem, which is their merit. They are enjoying the fruit of their labor, but at the same time, the evildoers will come to the next world, and they're missing out on the entire experience of earning that place. That feeling that they did something to deserve reward is missing for them. They can never feel worthy. And that phenomenon is what our psukim describe. V'hinachtem shimchem l'shvu'a l'v'chirai v'hem yischa Hashem Elokim v'la'avadav yikra shem acher. You, the ones who didn't use your time wisely in this world, will leave behind a name by which my chosen ones will curse. So may Hashem do unto you the way that was done to these people. But those who serve me will be given a different name. Asher hamisparech ba'aretz yisparech, be'elokei amen, v'hanishba ba'aretz yishava, be'elokei amen, ki nishkechu hatzaros harishonos, v'chi nesteru me'enai. Because whoever is going to bless himself in this land will bless himself by the true name of Hashem. Whoever swears in this land will swear by the name of Hashem that is true. And your previous troubles will all be forgotten and will be hidden from my eyes. From Psukim 17 and on, we have an explanation of the unfolding of the Geula. Ki hineni vorei shamayim chadashim, va'aretz chadasha, v'lo sezachrena harishonos, v'lo sa'alena al lev. Behold, Hashem is going to create a new land. Hashem is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former lands will not be remembered and will never even come to mind. The Alshech explains that when a person sins, the earth says, Arura adama ba'avurecha, cursed is the land because of you. So the physical reality of the world becomes corrupted by sin. And when Hashem makes this new world, it will reflect the purity and innocence that it held before sin struck it down and reduced it to a lesser and cursed place. We know that the world was impacted physically and diminished in this way after the initial sin of Adam HaRishon. But also this diminishing happens each time a person does an Avera, each time a person sins. And when the world is reduced in this way, it becomes more physical and less spiritual, so it hides the presence of Hashem in the creation. And that enables a person to sin more because the absence of the spirituality covers over what is beautiful and holy in this world. But in the future, the world will return to that wholeness. Ki em sisu vigilu ade ad asher ani vorei, ki hineni voreis yushalayim, gila va'ama masos. So be glad and rejoice forever because of what I'm creating. I'm going to create Yerushalayim as a joy and our people once again as a delight. וגלתי בירושלים, וססתי ועמי, ולא ישמע בה עוד קול בכי וקול זעקה. I'm going to rejoice in Yerushalayim and delight in her people, and there never will be heard there again the sounds of weeping and crying. לא יהיה משם עוד עול ימים, וזקן אשר לא ימלא את ימיו, כי הנער בן מאה שנה ימוס, והחוטא בן מאה שנה יקולל. There's not going to be any more a child, a baby, or an old man who doesn't live out their days. Someone who dies at age 100 is going to be considered young, and someone who fails to reach 100 is going to be considered cursed. Rashi explains that a person will only become liable for his sins on pain of death when he reaches age 100. Only then will he be condemned to death for his sins. And if we're saying that it will take until age 100 for a person to be responsible for sins, that means basically that there will be no sins. The reality of Mashiach's times will be that average people won't sin because the whole world will retain that spirituality, that light of Hashem. Uvanu vatim vayeshavu v'natu chramim v'achlu piryam. They're going to build houses and live in them. They're going to plant vineyards and enjoy their fruit. Lo yivnu v'acher yeshev. It's not going to be a reality in which they're going to build and another person will settle it. Lo yitu v'acher yochel. It's not going to be that they plant and someone else will eat from those plantings. Ki chimei ha'etz yimei ami u'ma'asei yideihem yivalu v'chirai. Because as long as the days of a tree, those are the longevity of my people, and the chosen ones will outlive the work of their hands. Here, in fact, we have reached the acme of blessing. The symbol of blessing is that you can fulfill your plans, and that's what comes to pass here. It's in diametric opposition of the curse that's part of the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo. Bayis tivneh v'lo seishev bo, kerem sita v'lo sechal alenu. You're going to build a house but not be able to dwell in it. You're going to plant a vineyard but you're not going to be able to reap it. And we know that those who were going out to war were able to be exempt if they had, in fact, started such a plan, if they had built a house and did not yet live in it. Because what's going to happen here is that we are going to reach that satisfaction and reach that fulfillment. Lo yigula rik v'lo yeldu la behala ki zera beruche Hashem hema v'tze'etza'ehem itam. They're not going to toil for no reason. They're not going to bear children in terror. They are going to be a people blessed by Hashem, and so will their children be. V'hayaterem yikra'u v'ani e'ene, od heimedabrim v'ani eshma. Before they even reach out to me in prayer, I'm going to answer them. While they're still talking, I'm going to respond to them. This is again in opposition to what they had suggested, what Klal Yisrael complained about in the beginning. The Mashiach's times are going to reverse all of this, and we're going to see with clarity the responses of Hashem before we even ask. Ze'ev v'tale yir'uche achad v'aryeh kabakar yochal teven, v'nachash afar lachmo, lo yareu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kadshi amar Hashem. The wolf and the lamb are going to graze together, and the lion is going to become vegetarian instead of predatory. We know that in Parshas Bechukosai it states that if we follow the laws of Hashem, one of the outcomes will be v'hishpasi chayara min ha'aretz, that evil animals, predatory animals, will be gone. Rabbi Shimon says, mashpisin shelo yaziku, the tendency to do bad will be removed from those wild animals, not the animals themselves. The Ramban on the spot states that Eretz Yisrael in the time of Geula will be like the world was before the sin of Adam HaRishon. Before the sin, there wasn't any evil inclination in the world. Even the animals had none. The predator behavior began with that sin. But in the times of the Tikkun HaGomer, the final resolution and perfection, this all will be restored to its former pristine and pure state. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.